Hello and welcome to this special edition of Oscar Mike Radio. I think I'm going to call these supersonic. When the missile leaves the rail, the Hawk missile leaves the rail, it's broken the sound barrier, and that's what we're doing today, in a manner of speaking. And this is a special one. Long, long story short, a person reached out to me, a family member of JJ, Joseph JJ Millet. I'm going to call him JJ going forward. About the situation where he was in distress, he was in counseling, and now he's facing some serious charges because he's been, brought up on charges of domestic terrorism. And I read, information I had. I talked to his aunt, Emily, her daughter, his cousin, and now on my special guest, Courtney Millet. Is going to talk about her relationship with her brother, who he is, and why she is so passionate about leading the charge for his defense and his overall health and well-being. Courtney, it is an honor to do this. Welcome to Oscar Mike Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to start with, because hopefully this isn't the last time we do this. I see the news articles, and I understand clearly that's one side of the story. But talking to your aunt first and then your cousin, they were both very insistent that this is not the representation of one of who JJ is, and that I should talk to you. I talked to you the other day, and I'm like, dang, if all sisters were like Courtney, this world would be a pretty good place for brothers. So I want to start with, tell me about who JJ is, your relationship, and we'll just start there and go into his military service and start there. So tell me, you're growing up, who is JJ?
So Jay, well, growing up, we didn't get along at all growing up, and no one would babysit us actually because we were so naughty. But as we became older, since we're so close in age, we started hanging out with the same
Now,
friends.
wait a
So
minute. How close in age are you talking about?
we're a year and a day apart.
Your parents didn't mess around.
No, well they did, but not in the sense of not in the sense of, I don't think that was planned, but I'll tell you, I remember being mad I had to share my birthday when I was a kid.
Year and a day. So,
Yep.
like, your birthday's on a Friday and his is on a Saturday. So, let me
Yeah.
guess, you're right. The parents just put them all together.
Yeah, we did. And we always had a clown cake, I remember. It was, yeah, I don't know. But I always used to not like, sharing a birthday. But now we do it and it's no big deal. Well, we actually try to forget our age now, I think, but
What was your relationship like? So you didn't get along growing up. When did
going
that
on.
start? Did it start changing at all?
Yeah, I think when we became into high school age, because like I said, we started hanging out with the same friends because we were all the same age. So, my friends were his friends and vice versa. So that's when it started, changing. And then especially when we both moved out of the house too, because when you live with someone, it can be pretty terrible sometimes.
Now, educate me here. Did you grow up in New York or Vermont? I wasn't clear about
Vermont. Vermont.
Vermont.
Yep. Yep.
I love taking my motorcycle through the Brattleboro to Bennington
Yep.
ride and looking at the monument. How close are you to Bennington?
We are, I think, I want to say, gosh, we're probably about 3 hours away. That's the bottom of the
Right.
city. So yeah, we're like, my backyard is Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're pretty far.
I've ridden up there. It's so beautiful. So it's Vermont. It's a very close-knit community. What was that community life like with your brother?
Oh yeah. I mean, everybody knows everybody in the area for the most part, I mean, my family's been here forever,
Oh yeah.
so they know. I mean, we know a lot of people in this area. We grew up in Derby Line, then we moved to Derby. I'm not sure if or
Yeah, I've
familiar.
ridden through Derby.
Yep. So that area, of course, everyone knew my mom. My mom was a nurse, so it just kind of, and then my brother joined the military, and it just, became a corrections officer. So you're brought in your people,
I'm always interested when I talk to siblings, what especially sisters. Sometimes you all are annoying, sometimes you all are angelic. This time you're being angelic. But what was it like when you your brother told you, "Hey, I'm doing this. I'm joining the military." What was going through your mind?
I was proud of him
Yeah.
because I didn't see him going that way. I wasn't sure what he was gonna do. He's really smart. I remember Jay always was the kid that like he could like miss class and he could show up and do a test and pass. He was that kid. He's really intelligent. And he actually didn't finish high school, but he got his GED and then he joined the military. And I was proud of him because I like I said, I didn't see him going that way. I'm not sure that he knew exactly what he wanted to do with his life, but he got a great brotherhood out of that and everything. So, he was proud. It was good to see him going that way.
And to be specific, he joined the National Guard. So he was still in Vermont working, and then he did his, weekend a month, 2 weeks a year in the National Guard for quite some time. And how do you think he liked it once he got into the Guard culture?
I think he liked it. And then it was, I can't remember. So I think he went overseas. He did go overseas. And I want to say it was 2009 to 2010. They were overseas. So then we came back, it was the same, what is it, 1 month a year?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Two, it's a weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. Sometimes it can get to a month.
And
So
so.
I'm always curious then, what was it like seeing him in uniform for the first time?
Oh, it was good. I mean, he looked handsome. I mean, and he looked proud. I just looked, it was just good to see him
Yeah.
doing something successful with his life,
Very cool. Very cool. As it goes on, though, he did get deployed over in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, he did.
And as a sister, I mean, he's thousands of miles away in a different culture, different country, leaving the state of Vermont where he grew up. What was that like for him and you as he's so far away?
Well, so I remember this was early 2000, so I don't think cell phones were as big. I actually just got one, I remember, but they had these little cell phones over there and they weren't nothing great. And I feel like they bought them there. I can't quite remember. But once a week or so, I'd get a little text and we'd kind of text a little bit, and then maybe call, but I didn't hear from him too much. But I mean, of course, I always wondered how he was doing, but you could only speak to them. So much. I don't know if it's changed over time, how it is now. Back then, it was very spotty when you could hear from your family or anyone over there.
How long? So he does that. Did he stay in the guard after he came back from deployment, or did he, get
Did.
out? He did.
Yep, he did. I can't tell you when exactly he got out, but I could shoot for maybe 2017. I think maybe.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. That's a question I'd have to ask him.
No problem. No problem. We'll fill in that blank as we said. Did he get hurt at all while he was serving?
He didn't. Nope, he didn't. But he did have friends that did and, saw some things, I'm sure,
So he gets out in 2017, and he's out of the guard completely. Did he go back into being a corrections officer?
So he wasn't a corrections officer until he was a corrections officer when he came home a little bit after he'd been home. I'd have to find out when exactly he became one, but he had been a corrections officer for about 10 years.
Yeah.
So he went, yeah, he did become one eventually anyway. But it was, I'm not quite sure exactly when. But prior to that, he just did the little jobs, like a teenager kind of after high school does, before he went in.
So let's fast forward to 2017. He's been deployed. He's not a Purple Heart veteran. He gets out of the guard completely. Did you notice any change in him at that time, or was he just happy to be out and moving on with his life?
Yeah, I mean, there's always change anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's maturity for one thing. I do remember him just being kind of like, I mean, he used to be more people-y, you know what I mean? Like he used to always be around people and stuff, but now he kind of like he'd rather be alone. He'd rather do his own thing. He's had a couple girlfriends over the years, but it's just he doesn't have, it I so he changed in the sense of like being a he's was really into hanging out with people. I guess you say partying almost in a sense. And when he came home, he was more secluded for sure, and he's always been that way since. So, but as maturity, you matured more, stuff like that. But yeah, he likes to be alone. He definitely likes to do his own thing at home. But yeah.
Now, do you have children yourself?
I do. Yep. Yes.
So is he a doting uncle on
Oh
your
my goodness, yes. He's been staying with me and I've loved every second of it. He takes care of my, I have a 2-year-old and I have an 18-year-old, and he takes care of my 2-year-old. Like, he has her right now over at my mom's. I mean, I can't even, and my oldest one is really close with him. He's always been a great uncle. That's why it's sad. I wish he could have kids. So I'd love him to meet a good girl someday because he'd be such a good dad.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, a sister can see that, and I love that. When did it start becoming clear that there were, you know, as I understand, when I first talked to your aunt, there were over time after he got out, the issues that with PTSD started to come to the fore, and she told me that, like, we knew there was a problem. In your eyes, when did you start seeing that change in him?
Well, I mean, he's always kind of been off and on with secluding himself for a while and just kind of coming back out of it a little bit, but he would pull himself back in. So it was always kind of there, but this time was a little different. Because, well, first off, I didn't notice, so I feel bad about that. But it wasn't till my husband had gone over and talked to the landlord and some people, and they said, well, he's been giving his stuff away for a bit. He's been he used to go outside and shovel, for the
Oh.
neighbors and stuff, and they hadn't seen him.
Oh,
So they
wow.
were like, wow, something's weird's going on here. But of course, like I said, Jay used to just kind of like disappear for a little bit and then he'd just reemerge, like kind of like if it was winter, no one wants to go out. It was kind of, that's how I felt about it. But now looking back, I think that that was all signs that led up. It just, we weren't paying attention, I don't know. But it wasn't till recently when I was like, oh, he's giving stuff away. Oh, people hadn't seen him. Like, that's alarming.
So what I'm trying to fill in is when did the he was in VA care, yes? So in February this event happens, and your aunt explained to me that he was in VA care at the time, like he should be going to his appointments, but there was a change in his medicine.
Yeah, so he had always been trying, he's been depressed, like he's always been trying to find a medication that would help him along with therapy, along with seeing doctors. So he was just trying, if it didn't work, he's like, well, they'd have him try another one. So, he unfortunately had a negative reaction to this one. So that's what happened there.
Now, before he's in VA care and on meds, and from what I'm understanding it, he was fine. You know, he was going through life, you know, engaged when he wanted to be, you know, helping people shovel, you know, uncle, brother, so on and so forth. But it wasn't until this change that things went this way, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Yep.
So this happens, and as I understand it, what has happened is his medicine's changed. He started having he got into a really different place, and he called the 988 crisis line and said, I'm hearing voices, I'm having these thoughts, I want to do these things." And they forwarded it to the Vermont State Police.
Yes. Yep.
The
Which I
go
think they
ahead.
did everything correctly in that sense. Like, it's alarming, when someone's having a crisis. I think that they normally do call the police. It was the charge, though. Like, it was the charge, what it comes down to.
Well, thing one, I mean, he went to the Vermont State Police, turned himself over to them, surrendered his firearm, no problem, you know, gave him the knife he had, and then went into VA care. And then your aunt tells me in that 3 days, a decision was made to then charge him because of, I don't know how to say this, they went through his personal belongings and found his journals, and they read stuff that to them elevated this to domestic terrorism charge.
Yes, that's true.
But my question is, I've never been in VA therapy, but I know several veterans who have. I've talked to VA professionals. One of the first things they ask you to do, and they'd love for me to do it, you know, because I receive VA care for my physical side, is just to journal, you know, write my story down every day. And they want you to journal and talk with them about what you've t written down, and then journal again. So it was my understanding from your aunt that's what the state attorney, or the Essex County attorney, actually read. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. And it's not a manifesto. They've
It's
changed
not.
that.
Oh, he
It's
did change it.
yeah, in court they changed it to the journal, basically. But it was presented as a manifesto, but I mean it's not like I read it's not. It's a journal entry for
Oh, you've
sure.
actually seen his journals.
My brother's always been a writer anyway, but yeah, JJ, he's always written his feelings out and everything, but he definitely is part of his therapy, and I think it's good. You know?
So, in other words, you have a veteran
Yeah.
going to his appointments because he's receiving VA care, taking his meds like he should be, trying to get himself right, going to work, doing his thing, and they made a change, and this is when it went off the rails.
Right. Yep, 100%. That's what
So,
happened.
what's going through your mind then as you see your older brother?
Well,
Like,
he's younger. He
I'm
does look
sorry,
older, though, but yeah, it's okay.
younger brother. I got the I've still on the year and the day thing.
Okay.
But what's going through your mind when this starts happening, Courtney?
Well, I remember it was like a normal day. No, actually, it wasn't. My daughter actually got in a car accident that day, believe it or not. So we were dealing with that, and then I was getting phone calls, and I'd heard that happen. And I was like, "What?" Like, I was like, "There, what's going on?" Like, I couldn't believe it, honestly. And then, then I realized it was what it was and everything. And as far as I knew, we didn't think there was gonna be anything further with this. It was a mental breakdown, And then that's when we found out what the charge is. But I mean, it's hard for us to see him going through this, It's just it's awful because he's not that person.
Because the Vermont State Police did not charge him at that time. They remanded him to VA care, and he was where he was supposed to be.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
Okay, so we're going to find out more about this. Like I said, I didn't want to try to unpack the entire story in one conversation, but reached out, I started looking at it, and I'm like, my experience with this, I'm not a healthcare professional, I'm not a mental health professional, but in my experience with this, in Massachusetts, we had a situation where a veteran went to the West Roxbury VA and said, "Hey, I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to do this." And they tried for 4 hours to save his life and it didn't work out. This is not one of those cases. He willingly came to get help. And it just makes me very alarmed, Courtney, because I started digging into this. In 2018, Vermont made this law. They introduced this law to have speech or parts of speech classified as domestic terrorism speech. And the ACL actually got involved and said, "You're going to have problems with this in 2023." And here we are, 3 years later, with this veteran who, it's a pretty serious thing if this goes forward and he gets charged with this in the terms of, yes, you're found guilty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's facing 20 years. I mean, come on. Like, there's
Well,
worse people in situations out there like that need attention. I don't know. I'm kind of, it's my brother, so I'm gonna.
right, but it's not like, and 20 years is the guideline. Like, there's no like, hey, well, it's 20 years is the minimum. So, I'm wondering what can people listening, what could I do, what can someone, a fellow American or veteran, do to help you, your family, and your brother during this time.
I think just spreading it like it is has been wonderful. We've had so much support. It's been actually unbelievable. I didn't even know that. I mean, it's just crazy. I can't believe how much support we've had, but it's been amazing. If spreading it, spreading it wider, calling the right people. I mean, I've talked to a lot of Bernie Sanders, his office called me, stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, they were on board on like being understanding and offered resources and stuff like that. Unfortunately, they can't really sway the justice system at all, but they were very supportive. But I think honestly the best thing right now is spread the word, get it out there. I'd like it to be just not in Vermont, and make it well known. This is because this is going to affect every veteran, especially in Vermont. They're not going to call. They're going to be scared to call because they're going to be afraid they're going to, a few days later get charged. I just it's a huge thing. It's my brother's case, yes, but this is a wider thing that's happening at my brother's expense,
Well, I was thinking about it, talking with other veterans. I'm like, there's no way if you go in for mental health care at all that you will keep a journal. You'll just won't do it.
Oh gosh, no. I mean,
Much like.
I will advise people not to call the hotline personally. Like if Jay gets charged, I will literally say, do not call this line. Don't, just because you don't know what you're gonna get yourself into. I know that sounds awful, but I mean, that's where we
Well,
are.
but that's the reality. Like, why would you go through the process? And here's the thing that I'm trying to be professional, but I can't because I understand what it's like getting railroaded like this. But why would you put yourself out there if you know that you're going to possibly be put in, handcuffs 3 days later? You're just not going to do it.
Right. And the thing that I feel, my personal opinion is he called, regardless of what anyone says, they're calling for help. Like he didn't, most time they don't call for something
No.
like that. Like it, we don't know the questions as they asked him either, so there's a lot to it, and he did mention over and over, I'm hearing voices, I don't want to do this, like this is stuff that I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm not 100% sure I didn't hear the calls or anything, but there's more to it, you know what I'm saying? Like we don't know what kind of questions they're asking to get these answers. We don't, there's a lot that we don't know.
I'm just curious, has the VA offered any level of support? Is the VFW, anybody like that?
Yeah,
Really?
yes. Yeah, VFW have been wonderful working with us. Yeah, the VA, I mean, when Jay was in hospital, and stuff, they all have came to basically an agreement from my understanding about what happened, and it was the medication induced psychosis. So we'll see where it goes with I'm hoping that's a I don't know. I'm just kind of like shocked still,
Oh,
like
for sure, for sure.
I just hope that this ends and it's for the better, and not only for Jay, but for every, not even veterans, not even anyone that calls for help shouldn't be in this position.
Well, I see where if you're anybody
Yeah.
and this case becomes precedent, you can say what you tell your therapist or how you communicate with law enforcement can lead to your life changing forever. I'm extremely concerned about this. And, the irony is this could have been a fantastic story of the 988 crisis line, law enforcement, and the VA working together to keep this person alive. I was going to ask you, I mean, the Vermont State Police seem to really, I was going to ask you, they seem to really handle this in a way to de-escalate the situation, bring him in, and then get him to help. Respectfully, that's the from watching the clips and everything, like they wanted, like they really cared.
Yeah, and I had heard that they didn't want the charges either. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think they saw it as a crisis too. I don't think that I think everybody is surprised about what's going on, to be honest with you. There's a lot of people following this case. I mean, there's law enforcement and people reached out to me, and they all can't believe certain doctors that I can't really get into too much detail, but
Sure, no.
just like certain people that you would think, like you wouldn't think they would be on this side of this, but they are because they think it's wrong.
Yeah. I saw the combat boots with the JJ Strong or J Strong. Is that your rallying cry for everybody?
Well, so a little boy. So my brother, when he had got done working at the correctional facility, he started working. I want to say it was Northeast Kingdom Human Services, and he worked with boys, like young boys. So this young boy, I don't know how old he is. I think he's, ooh, that's bad. He's a young kid anyway. He
Okay.
made all those. He made
No
all those because he
kidding.
loves Jay. Yeah. So he made those. He made special videos. Him and his mom, like they've been doing a lot to support Jay. He's beside himself, this kid.
Well, just and there's full disclosure, some people here in Massachusetts and some of my listeners are like, hey, if they make a pin or a decal or a button, let me know. I'll buy it to support it. So that's getting out there. People are seeing it. So we're going to have that. I'm going to take that and put it into this video we're doing now. So it really sticks with people. It's a strong message.
Yeah, I did a good job too. I wanted to do that myself, make some bumper stickers and everything. I just haven't gotten there yet. I'm
Well, you're,
slowly getting there with things.
yeah, well, you're, he's in your care now and you're keeping him busy. So you've got a full plate. So we'll come back to this. I think we have some other people that we talked about that you want me to talk with. They'll be next and they'll come back to you. But my involvement is to amplify this. And it's wrong. You have somebody who's trying to do the right thing. You have the help in place from the VA and law enforcement to do the right thing. It just seems like a huge miscarriage of justice. So we'll be
That's how
talking
people are feeling.
more. And we're here for you. He's not alone. That's my thing. I want him to know he's not alone.
We appreciate it. And he's been, he's trying to get off. He's not on Facebook or anything because,
Oh,
just seeing
sure.
how he doesn't want to see a lot of this stuff going on, which the support is amazing. So I'll show him once in a while some clips or, whatever. But he can't believe how, much support he has. And he just, the community has come together. I mean, if anything, Vermont has shown that they really support their veterans, and that's huge.
You guys aren't alone. We're here with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah.
So
Thanks for
again,
doing this.
absolutely, absolutely. This isn't the last time we're going to talk. But we are going to just kind of wind it down here because there is a list that we're doing of guests who are going to come and talk about the situation. We're here to support the Millets entirely. And again, Courtney, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you.
It's Travis with Oscar Mike Radio for this special section of this story, and we will see you next time. Thank you.
Bye.